Well, things are hopping over at the No Theater, where they have a new artistic director, a new associate director, and a brand new lineup. And joining me this evening to discuss the goings-on is the new artistic director, Mr. Andrew Hungerford. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, Jim. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been brought on board as artistic director, and this is your first season as artistic director. You've actually just completed a very successful run of Harry and the Thief.
That's right. I've actually been with No Theater as their resident scenic and lighting designer since 2007, and this is my first year stepping into a new role, which is very exciting. So yeah, we just finished our first production, Harry and the Thief, which was a rambunctious time travel comedy about Harriet Tubman, and it ended up being one of our top six best-selling shows of all time. So we're really excited that audiences responded to it, and we're hoping to continue that momentum through the rest of the season.
Well, you're certainly jumping in feet first on this one. It's a very full season. In fact, a number of shows more than last season. Is that correct?
That's right. One of our goals for the upcoming season and moving into the future is just to try to produce more programming and just do more plays. There are so many new plays that are written every year and so many of them that are just calling for a production with their quality and with the importance of the subjects that they're taking on, that we're really looking to expand our programming so that we can tackle more of those plays and bring more voices to Cincinnati Theater that are underrepresented both locally and nationally.
And speaking of callings, your next show, which comes up October 8th through November 10th, is sort of the calling of the sea, and that is Moby Dick.
We're doing a stage adaptation of Moby Dick that takes what is one of the most enduring and most daunting novels in American literature and strips it down to its essence and I think really captures the sense of the adventure story while maintaining the beauty of the overall metaphor of the novel and puts it on stage in a really compelling way. We're approaching it with what I like to call a visceral theatricality. And my co-director, Michael Burnham, has said in rehearsal a number of times, we want to capture the metaphor, not the illusion. So one of the questions I get asked from time to time is, who's playing the whale? Well, no whale actually appears on stage, although you might believe there's one.
Now, you're directing this, and you have been the resident set designer in the past. Are you contributing to the set design on this one? And if so, what can we expect?
Yeah, so I am the scenic and lighting designer as well as co-director on this show. And this is one of the reasons that I'm actually co-directing, because when I first read this script and first started thinking about how to do Moby Dick on stage, it started from a place of design. And so because it was so influenced by that, we thought it would be fun if Michael and I just got to sit in a room and play together. The set itself is a combination of theatrical devices, really. So it uses a lot of sort of classical theatricality, like pieces of sheet metal to create sounds of waves and thunder, and then a lot of sailcloth. Throughout the play are woven sea shanties, which were actually working songs. And one of our goals with the shanties is to not just have the play stop and then a song is sung and then we continue, but rather to have the cast actually work through those songs so that they feel really an integrated part of the action. We have a lot of rigging on stage that the cast will be manipulating through the course of the songs and a lot of scenic pieces that move around to evoke the different locations through the story without literally recreating them.
This brings up a very interesting question. Having spoken with other artistic directors, the artistic directors who have a directing background, oftentimes their season is chosen because it's a challenge for directing. And those who have been actors, it's an actor challenge. From the scenic and lighting standpoint, is that an integral part of what you put into the selection of a season? Or is this you just find those gems that you want to insert?
It's a balance of things. I will say that I'm inherently drawn to shows that provide opportunities to be visually compelling on stage, because one of the things that I believe, and the rest of our staff believes as well, is that we're really trying to do theater that demands that it be produced live on stage with an audience right there. And we're never trying to do things that could be done better on TV or film in any particular way. Or if it's a story that is inherently naturalistic, what can we do with the surrounding design to support the themes and metaphors of the story while creating a visually rich tapestry for the audience to look at and really engage them and make a point of it being you're here in this space with these visuals and this story being told to you.
Well, what are some of the other plays this season that we will be seeing live?
Well, coming up this December, we have a play called Bureau of Missing Persons, which is by a playwright named Lila Rose Kaplan. I believe this will only be the second professional production of the show. I first saw a reading of it in Los Angeles about 4 years ago, and I completely fell in love with the script. And I've been looking for an opportunity to do it ever since. And it's a really lovely story about how we as people deal with loss and with grief, but told in a way that incorporates magical realism in a way that's sort of reminiscent of some of Sarah Rule's pieces. It's just a really lovely story that I'm very excited to do. And that'll be our new Associate Artistic Director's main stage directing debut. So that's exciting. And then in the spring, we've got a play called Hearts Like Fists by Adam Simkowitz. And it is a play about an all-female crime-fighting team. So it's a superhero play on stage. And the basic premise is that there's an evil genius named Dr. X who's had his heart broken so many times that he's sneaking into the apartments and homes of couples who are happy and murdering them while they sleep. And so it's up to the crime fighters to stop Dr. X. And then on the other side is a surgeon who's had his heart broken so many times, he's trying to invent an artificial heart to replace his own so his heart will never be broken again. So it's a really lovely, our tagline is, love is a battlefield where superheroes fight crime. And it uses the themes of superheroes in a really lovely way to talk about relationships and how they can go wrong and how they can go right. And I think it's going to be a really lovely show. And then we've got one more show in our season that will be in our winter slot that we're still negotiating some rights on. So we'll announce it very shortly, I hope.
And in addition to the regular programming that you do, you're also continuing the recently held and very popular Serials at the Know.
This summer, we tried a new program, which we called Serials, and it's not Kellogg's or General Mills. It's a collection of serialized plays. So what our theme for our season this year has been adaptation, and that relates to adaptation of characters or adaptation of different forms to the stage. So with Serials, we're taking the format of weekly TV or radio shows and putting it live on stage. So we had, for our summer series, six plays by local writers that were broken up into 15-minute episodes that we did every 2 weeks. So by the end of the run of the six episodes, audiences had seen essentially a full one-act play out of those stories. And we hold it in our downstairs cabaret space, and we sell beer and popcorn, and it's like a big theater party. It was really great to see audiences get engaged with those stories week after week and really connect with them, and the artists had a really great time as well. So we'll be continuing that in the winter with a little bit of a twist. So our serial season two is called The Thunderdome, and in The Thunderdome, at each installment, five plays will enter and three plays will continue on to the next week. So based on an audience vote, each week two plays get canceled and then others continue, which we're looking at as a great opportunity to get even more writers and artists involved and to allow writers to try things that are extra strange or extra inventive. And they can see if it works and then they'll get immediate feedback whether it did or not.
Another new program that you've introduced this year is The Welcome Experiment.
We at No Theater have always tried to make our shows accessible to the public, as accessible as possible. And we want as many people in Cincinnati to be able to make regular theater going a part of their lives as want to. And even though our tickets, so our regular price tickets are relatively modest for professional theater, but we know that even this can be too high of a barrier for some people. So we wanted to find a way to make it possible for people to come see our shows regardless of their economic circumstances. This year, we've introduced Wednesday night performances of all of our main stage shows, and those Wednesday nights are offered completely free to the community. And so the way we're approaching it is the tickets can be reserved in advance. We make about half of the house for each Wednesday night, so about 50 seats available for reservation online or via phone in advance, and then half of those are reserved for walk-up tickets. And so far, we've had great success. We did two Welcome Experiment performances for Harry and the Thief, and we did a survey on the second of those performances, and we found that 9% of the audience that night had never been to see a live play before, which was really great and exactly the kind of outreach we're looking to do. And 52% of that audience had never been to No Theater before. So it was very exciting for us. So over the course of this season, we'll be offering 17 free performances of our five different shows. We're excited to get people out to see some plays.
Well, again, things really hopping over at the No Theater. I'd like to thank this evening's guest, the artistic director of the No Theater, Mr. Andrew Hungerford. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Jim.
For more information on the No Theater, their upcoming production of Moby Dick, and all their shows, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.